judge or an arbiter over you. In another place, if you go with me to the book of John, chapter 2, look at verse 20, 23 to 25. See, Jesus understood that he had to pick his battles, and that he was not there about the other person in the conflict, and it is also about everybody else around, because people are looking. And people are making decisions about how to lead their lives based upon the decisions we make in our conflict resolutions. Nothing happens in a vacuum. One of the verses that I've often gone through in talking about the sanctuary experience. When we go inside the Holy Place, when we have had that experience of gratitude, of recognizing what Jesus has done for us at the cross, this is the verse I go to. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what is the purpose there? And glorify your Father in heaven. If you're involved in a conflict, I ask you, it is not about you, it is about him. And I ask you, what is your focus? Is it how well you're doing? How well you are right? About him and about how well he is doing. Remember what David said, so that you can be just, you can be righteous when you judge. Right? In Romans 3:4, Paul tells us the same thing, but this is the point. Judgment is first about God and it's then about us. In other words, conflict resolution is first about God and it's then about us. In Romans 3, verse 4, he says, certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. What he's doing is he's saying, look, in these conflicts that you're having, let God first be justified. Let God first be spoken righteous. As it is written that you, talking about God, may be justified in your words and may overcome when you're judged. You hear the echo from David, by the way. The same thing. Take a look at 1 John. Our purpose is not to be striving to resolve the conflicts in our life. What is the purpose? I like the way it's stated in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. Speaking there, Paul says, but even after we had suffered, this is 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 2. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Notice, they were not focused on resolving conflict. They were focused on speaking the gospel. And there's people who come and they say, you know, my church is terrible. You know, I know it's terrible. God was so got abortion. You want to talk about abortion? Abortion is an issue in our church. You want to talk about women's ordination issues, conflicts. People on both sides of the aisle arguing. But there's other issues, so we can show them. What do you do with that? We're called to preach the gospel. We're not called to be God. We're not called to resolve this conflict. And that is why the verse that was read today from Revelation chapter 3, we read that verse so often, but we forget something really important that Jesus is emphasizing there. Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. I'm sure many of you have read that verse quite often. He says, so then because you are lukewarm. You know that word lukewarm? It's someone who bounces up and down. You know, who's like the wind. You know, that's what sometimes Peter was accused of. One day he's prophesying, one day he's saying wonderful, amazing things coming out of his mouth, and another day he's just speaking his mouth. So he says, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, you're not consistent. I will vomit you. Notice he's not saying angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and receives his mark on his forehead or in his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God." Now notice, that verse 10, is in future tense. He says, "He himself shall also drink." This is the warning of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out for his strength in the cup of his invitation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. It's a warning about what is going to happen in the future. But notice verse 11. Verse 11 is talking about those who worship the beast and the present. Look what it says. "And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." I want to bring your attention to two words in verse 11. Torment. It's saying that those who worship the beast, their focus is not on the beast, their focus is on themselves, and it says that they have torment. And then it says they have no rest. That's the other word I want to talk about. Torment and no rest. It's amazing because in the presence of Jesus, something very interesting happens in torment. About torment. In Matthew chapter 8, let's read verses 28 and 29. "When he had come to the other side, to the country of their kings, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?'" I read that as scripture. That's what they're talking about. The enemies of God are tormented in the presence of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they cannot stand Jesus Christ. So those people who worship the beast, they don't have anything to do with Jesus. But then there's another group of people who have no rest. Right? Let's learn a little bit